how much of man's good works is really good? That's Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 91. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you need to kill the old man, putting to death that part, and live as a new man, coming to life of the new, now that you have been regenerated. The new man shows his new life by doing good works, and God expects nothing less. You've been saved, you are called to serve. But how can you know what good works really are? This is an important question because there is a wide variety of beliefs in what good works are. Some people believe that helping the old and the sick to die, euthanasia, that is a good work because you're helping to relieve suffering. Is that a good work? Others believe that the government should share wealth equally to all members of society, and that is a good work. Is it a good work? Others think that abolishing capital punishment is a good work for any civilized society. And the right to abortion is important because you are validating a woman's right to her own body. All the people believe that public education is a good work because it's free and it's good for poor people. Others believe that killing infidels is a good work and that it will take them to paradise if they do. So we have lots of ideas, and people think many of these things are good things. You have to let God teach us how to know what a good work is and how to do a good work. And we have four headings today. Bible teaches that good works are done from faith in Christ. The Bible teaches that good works are done according to the law of Christ. Third, good works must be done for the glory of Christ. And then good works, some limitations in our understanding. Our goals are that you will understand what truly good works are in order that you may do them to please the one who did the greatest good work for you, saving you through his Son. Look at question 91 then. What do we do that is good? Together, only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory, and not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. Now, good works must be done from faith in Jesus Christ. A good work is only a good work if it were done from true faith in Jesus Christ, the true vine. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, together, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if you don't have a new heart, you can't do good works. You must be constantly resting in Jesus and drawing from him as the source of your good works. He is the vine. You are the branches. The branches draw from Jesus. So if you aren't in Christ, if you aren't grafted into Christ, you can't do good works. John 15:5 says this, together, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. More, any action you do, if it were not done from faith, is not only not a good work, it is a sinful action. Whatever you do, even the smallest thing, must be done with the full persuasion and conviction that it is the right thing to do. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, together, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. So you cannot please God if your motive is imperfect. God wants a pure heart for every good work. So you may run into a burning building and save someone who is trapped there. Or you may help babysit someone's kids. Or you may make the new thing, make your house eco-friendly and make people happy and save the environment. But if it were not done from faith in Jesus Christ, it is not a good work. You must have no mental reservation about what you do, as the Roman Catholics allow. So they would say, you could do something, but if you didn't really mean to, like you had your fingers crossed or something behind your back, then you really don't have to do what you said. Well, the Bible says you must have no mental reservation about what you do, because if you do so, then it's not a good work. And in fact, it is a sinful action. Now, somebody would say, but I just don't always know what's a good work, but I believe that I will let my conscience be my guide. If my conscience says it's okay, then I will do it. Are they wrong to say that? Yeah, very wrong. Why? Because God's standards are much higher than your sinful conscience. Your conscience was messed up because of the fall. And therefore, it will never have the standard that God requires. Your conscience has been compromised. I mean, if you talk to the Russians, they say they're doing a good work in Ukraine by rescuing their Russian-speaking people. Of course, all the Russian-speaking people and ethnic Russians that I know want nothing to do with Russia. But they, in their minds, that is, they're really doing a good work. A lot of people really believe that. The soldiers, a lot of them believe what they're doing is good. But is that really good? Is the conscience the standard? No. The conscience was corrupted. And yet, while you must not let your conscience be your guide, you must never violate your conscience. Simply put, you must never do something that your conscience convicts you is sin. The conscience, the standard is low. That's why you can't use that. But if your conscience is saying, this is wrong, even if something were permissible by God, if your conscience says it's wrong, you must not do it. Let me give you a few examples to explain this point. If you bought food for somebody on the Sabbath who is starving, which is a good work, there's nothing wrong in doing that. If somebody's starving and you have to buy food for them. But if you believe you are breaking God's law by shopping on the Sabbath day, then that becomes a sin to you. If your heart thinks it's wrong, then it becomes sinful. Or the Apostle Paul used the example that we looked at in Romans 14 just a few minutes ago. He pointed out that if you believe that it's wrong to eat meat that was sacrificed to idols, which is good to eat, there's nothing wrong, because their gods are nothing, and you're free to eat meat because it's meat. Their gods can't do anything. Their gods don't really exist. But if you think it isn't good to eat that meat and you still ate it, then that becomes sin to you. Or if you think taking a particular vaccine is wrong, though taking some vaccines is not wrong, and you still do it, even though you believe it's wrong, then it is a sin to you. And you think, well, how could that be? Well, the sin doesn't reside in buying a food on the Sabbath, or it doesn't reside in eating meat, or it doesn't reside in taking the vaccine, but in the intent to act against what you believe to to be against God's command. It's to act against God in your mind. And that's why those things become sinful. Otherwise, eating meat sacrificed to idols, you don't want it, send it to me, I'll eat it. There's nothing wrong with eating that meat. There's nothing wrong in buying food to help somebody on the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong in taking vaccines. But if you believe it's wrong and then you still do it, then it becomes sin to you. Well, what about others? If others recognize your work to be good, isn't that what makes them good? If people say, that's a good work you did there, doesn't that make it good? Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Others can only judge the outward actions. God judges the motive as well. Look at an example of a rebuke God gave to those who were attempting good works without faith in Him. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. And the Lord Jesus, in fact, used this in the New Testament as well. Let's read together. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. Here's the difference. They talked a good talk, but, and even did good things. They kind of walked a good walk too, outwardly, but inwardly they were scum. Their hearts were never near the Lord. They went through this ritual obedience. And since God judges the heart, you must make sure your heart is working well and it's clean and pure. In Matthew 15, teaches that when the heart is clean, good works will flow naturally out of it. And when the heart is dirty, dirty works will come out of it. Outward acts might look exactly the same as other people's, but they're not considered to be good because the motive is wrong. So you might help the people in Ukraine, and you might have a noble purpose. You want to help people who don't have food to eat or to get clean water. But if somebody else does that, not from faith in Christ, but because they want to do what everyone else is doing, which is the popular thing. Everyone's helping Ukraine, so I'm going to help Ukraine. That's not a good work. The good work must be done that you have a desire to please God by helping the people in Ukraine. Or other people like to do that because there's a new way of raising money for Ukraine. So what do you do then? Well, everyone who gives money, they get their names placed on Facebook. So you get Facebook recognition. Well, that's not a good work either. You could give $1 million to Ukraine and God will say it's nothing because you did it for recognition, not because you want to please me. Good works must be done from faith with that desire to please God. Secondly, good works must be done according to the law of Jesus Christ. Good works are only considered good if they're done according to the law that God has given to us. Look at Jesus when he addressed this in Matthew chapter 5. Let me read verses 19 and 20. This is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness, that's your right actions, exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he's saying there's something that's a little bit unique. They got this form of obedience, and I call the Pharisees like the souffle Christians. Have you ever seen a souffle? It looks so beautiful, nice and shaped, and you drop your hand in it, it goes right through it because there's no substance to it. It only looked good. So the Pharisees were good at doing this. They would stand up in the streets to pray, and they would put their long robes and fast on Mondays and Thursdays and put ashes on their head, and the heat and the sweat, it would just run down their face, and they would look so pious. as though they're sacrificing themselves. And Jesus was saying, yeah, you might look like you're doing according to the law, but there's something wrong here. So let's think of it to our time today. There are those who mutilate their bodies to try to change their gender, but they aren't doing a good deed. What the doctors are doing, and the nurses, and the people, and the government that protects them, they will have to give an account to God. That's not according to God's law. Those who marry an unbeliever because they made an effort to find a Christian spouse but couldn't, aren't doing a good deed. That's a wicked deed. Those who think they're wise by not spanking their children for disobedience aren't doing good deeds. Those who believe they should call women men and men women, they aren't doing good deeds. They might be woke, and they might be appreciated on Facebook and all the social media, and the government might think you're great. But God doesn't think that. That is against God's law. Those who believe the government should be Robin Hood and rob the rich to give to the poor, they aren't doing good deeds. People like that. I mean, the whole, if you listen to what some of the NDP leaders are saying right now, it's all about redistribution of wealth. Let's get rid of Doug Ford because he didn't give people more money during the lockdown and made them stay home. Essentially, that's what they're saying. Now, whatever you believe about that's relevant. It's just that there's that craving in us to steal from the rich to give to the poor. That's acceptable today. That's the ground. That's what socialism is. But those are not good deeds. Those who choose to do homework on Sunday so they'll get better grades. You might get better grades, but that's not a good deed before God. Those are not good deeds. Those are bad deeds. Because they're not done according to the law of God. Well, how do we know what is according to the law of God? We have the letter there, you shall not murder. But you know, the letter means a little bit. You have to get the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law of Christ is what you are. So when the Bible says don't murder, it also means don't hate. The Bible says don't commit adultery, it also means don't get involved in pornography or other things that lead to adultery. The Pharisees, though, they only pretended to obey the law, but not to conform to the spirit of the law. So they would literally pay people to murder others and say, well, I didn't do it. They did it, as if God would excuse them, as if they were not guilty. But no work is considered good if it were not done according to the true spirit of the Ten Commandments. Simply put, the letter kills, the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. That's what the whole Sermon on the Mount was. There's also the issue of formalism, where people look like they're doing the right actions. They prayed, looked good, but their hearts were not right with God, and therefore they were in violation of the law of God. And then third, God's laws come as a package. So if you break even one of God's law, even a small one, you've broken them all. On the other hand, God will greatly bless those who obey his law and those who teach others to do it. It's a good reminder for you parents. Every time you teach your children, I know sometimes it gets hard and you're overwhelmed by it, but you are pleasing God every time you discipline your child, every time you encourage your child, every time you pray for your child, every time you teach your child to obey God's law. That's a blessing. But remember to keep in mind that you want the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. And these are promises that are individual. If you do this, God will bless you. These are ecclesiastical for the church. The church that's obedient to God's law will be blessed by God. And they're also national. This is a promise that the nation that obeys God's law according to the intention of God's law, not just the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law, will be blessed by God. So we've got true faith according to the law of God, and now third, it must be done, good works must be done for the glory of Jesus Christ. Good works according to faith, good works according to God's law, the intention of the law, and then good works must be done for the glory of Christ. Scripture speaks about this. Let's read a few passages. Grab your notes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. This is the Sermon on the Mount, of course. We say it together. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. By the way, if you have fake good works, if children will see through it. If they see you do things out of formalism or literalism, following the letter of the law, they will not get the blessing. In fact, they will have a bad understanding of God and of His law. But if you do good works, you will glorify God, because your children will see that in you. Second, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, together. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when you're eating, you would realize, I shouldn't eat too much. Or I should eat my vegetables, I should eat my fruits, I should be eating properly. And that's just one area. But that's true for all of your life. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. First Peter chapter 2, verse 12, together. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. What's the goal of your good works? That they may glorify God. It doesn't matter what people say. People might not like the way you're raising your children. They might not like how your relationship you have with your husband or with your wife, or how you do business with others. But you're doing it to glorify God. Do it in the way that will please Him. And as a result of that, ultimately, that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. So by consistently doing good works, you will lead men to honor and please God. The Bible says you are that city on a hill, and your people are watching you. It doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter where you live. You have to live in a way that will bring glory and honor to the Lord. So show good works in your home, in the civil sphere, in a religious setting, in preaching, praying, hearing God's word, fasting, helping the poor, serving your family, sharing in the church or in the world, in private, in public. Now, if you're going to live for the glory of God, and you're going to do works for the glory of God, you have to know what truth is. Remember, I started off talking about some of these things that people look to, and they say, well, we're doing good. We're helping people to die with dignity. And then you say, no. We're murdering people. Can't do that. We're being civilized. We're no longer going to execute murder. Why should we murder people who murder? Well, because God says that's not murder, that's execution. People who murder have attacked the image of God in man, and therefore they deserve to die. Oh, we're civilized. We're giving women rights. They have rights over their own body. That, of course, is ignorance, because the woman is killing somebody else's body. And the doctors and nurses and the government that protect them are guilty with the bloodshed. So you really have to know the scriptures if you're going to do well, if you're going to urge the church, and if you or yourself will work for the glory of God. It also means you have to ask God to help you by His Holy Spirit to do that work. Knowing it is one thing, but you need help to do so. So don't do good works in order for people to like you. Do good works for the glory of God. To do good works for people to like you corrupts those good works. Now, here's the thing. As a result of doing good works, people may like you. If you do a good job in society, you take care of your family, people may like you. But that's a result of the good works. You don't do good works so people will say nice things about you. You do good works for the purpose that God will be glorified. And if people are happy with you, praise God for that. If they praise you, praise God for that. That's okay. That's not the purpose. That's simply the result. Now let's come to our fourth point. Good works must be done for the glory of Christ, from the faith in Christ, according to the law of Christ, for the glory of Christ. But there are some limitations, and I want you to think about those today. Many people do good works because they think good works will earn or merit their salvation. Give them some credit with God. But good works cannot save you from the fires of hell. Good works cannot even help you to save you from the fires of hell, as Roman Catholics teach. Where do the scriptures make this abundantly clear? John 14, verse 6. Jesus said this in a very positive way. He wasn't attacking their good works, but he's saying they don't save. What will save you? John 14, 6, together. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. And since you can only get life through Christ, through his life and his death, you must take no credit for eternal life. That verse I hope you've memorized by now, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, everything you have, you've received. If there were saving merits in your good works, the Lord knows you would be prone to forget. You would forget that your salvation came through Jesus Christ. The truth is, we love to take credit, even for what other people do. And it's terrible when you do it for what Christ does. Jesus Christ is jealous for his worship and praise, and he does not want you to take credit for what he does. Also, your good works don't earn your salvation, but you respond to your salvation by doing good works. So good works are never absent. Good works don't save you, but good works are never absent from the one who is saved. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, again another verse I hope you've memorized now together. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Ephesians 2:10, a verse I prefer because this one really gets to the heart of the whole matter. Verse 10 together. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. This tells you exactly that. You were created, you were saved, or recreated in Jesus in order to do good works. Adam was told when he was put in the garden not to sit there, lay back, and do nothing. He was given a job to do. But then he failed. And the second Adam had to come to restore that ability. So then we were recreated in order to do good works. And let's also remember that good works are done both in physical and spiritual things, and in things that might be seen or things that are unseen by the people around you. Two verses more. 1 Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Together, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. See this thing here? This word I embolden it. Pattern of good works. You have to show a pattern of good works. So, suppose someone doesn't see it. Maybe you address the children for a moment. Maybe your parents don't see you when you help your sister. That's okay. God sees. He knows. Maybe you've prayed for your brother who got hurt. Maybe people didn't hear you or see you, but God knows that. And God will bless you for your unseen good works. You don't have to publicize them. You don't have to say, I prayed, I'm special. No, just pray. Just help your brother, just help your sister, just help your mom. You don't have to tell others. Same thing for you grown-ups. Maybe sometimes you give people advice, maybe you talk to someone. I know Josh was mentioning that a number of you have reached out to him, how much he appreciated it. I don't know who did it, but that's good. That's what God expects. We're not doing this to show off. We're doing this that God will be glorified. That he will thank, like for example in this case, that Josh will thank God for the brothers and sisters here. And the praise will go to Jesus who saved you. And then finally, good works don't come naturally. They need to be taught. Good works need to be learned. Titus 3:14 says this, together, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. So maybe this is something that really gets to the heart of parents now. This, of course, goes against all human pride. You need to start training your children early so that they learn to do real good works. From the time you start teaching a child to say please and thank you, you're beginning to teach them good works. And a good parent will never neglect this for other things. You know, there are always other activities that seem bigger and more praiseworthy, and people might like you more for what you do. But you need to learn, and then you need to teach good works to your children, because they are not naturally good. You know that. They're naturally evil. And they need to learn what is truth, what is a good work. Let's conclude. Good works show you are converted. Good works proceed from faith. Good works are done according to God's law, and good works are done for the glory of God. This is the test you are to use before you do anything. If you're not sure, let this go back in your mind. If you find you're doing something because you want people to like you or to think highly of you, that is not a good work. If you do good work simply because you think it's good and you don't need God's law, then that's not a good work. You do good works because God saved you and you want to please him. You want to give glory to him. Now, there are rewards for doing good works. Thank God for that. You have rewards now and later, but that's the result of doing good, not the purpose of doing good. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, may you, having understood your position in Christ, how he saved you, called you, justified you, sanctifies you, one day will glorify you, that you will then fulfill your responsibility to do truly good works with diligence and bring honor and glory to your Savior and show the world that you are saved. And then may you receive, in order to do that, the help of Christ's Word and Christ's Spirit. And may you receive mutual encouragement from each other here to do these good works. Remember, good works don't come naturally. You need to learn them. You need to be encouraged to do them. You need to be taught what good works are. You need to challenge each other in that. And finally, if you're not a Christian, I ask you this. Have you done anything to please God? If you're not a Christian, the answer is absolutely no. You're rather under condemnation of God and bound for hell, but you don't have to despair. There is hope. Christ can fix the problem. He can fix any problem you have if you ask him to take away your sins. It's free for you. It wasn't free for him. He had to give his life on the cross for your sins. But he will take away your sins He will fill you with His Holy Spirit. He'll make you His child. He'll adopt you. An adoption that can never be revoked. And then He will enable you to do good works as He has commanded. May you ask Him for that today if you're not a believer. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Help us to live in this light. We know we need your word. We need your spirit. We need humility. We need you to take away our pride that we will live and serve you obediently. Remind us too, to teach our children from youth. We live in a world that is confused, that doesn't know what good is anymore. Help us to take the time to teach our children. Bring honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.